Kiddushin Daf Mem Vav. How's everybody doing? Welcome to the 8-Minute Daf. Where Ketana got engaged without her father's das, without her father's consent. We have a machloikas between Rav Asi and Rav, whether or not she could renege on this engagement. She accepted it, but her father didn't accept it yet. According to Rav Asi, she cannot renege. According to Rav, she could. The Gemara thought maybe we could bring a raya from a fata. The halacha is that if somebody seduces a girl, he has to pay 50 shekel knas to the father, even in a case where the father agreed that he should marry his daughter, but she doesn't want to. So isn't this similar to our case? Because over here, we don't have the father's will to begin with, and she's against it. So you see that she could be moichel. It's a riot to Rav. No, it's not a riot. Because we could say, like we always learned in Cheder, that we're talking about a pitui that the man didn't have das for kiddushin. He didn't want to marry her. And even if you say that it was l'shem kiddushin, it would be necessary to do another kiddushin. Mari yimerena lo l'isha has to do another kiddushin because he didn't have the father's consent to begin with. And now we're in a brand new Mishnah. If a person uses a lashon, he says, he takes a fruit, he takes a date, and he says, his kachili b'tmora zu, and then she eats the date, and then he gives her another one. So if one of them has a shava pruta, it's a good kiddushin. So we have a machloikis. What exactly is this case? According to Rav and Shmuel, it's talking about the beginning of the Mishnah, where a person says a double lashon, hiskachili bezu, hiskachili bezu. He breaks it up very strongly with the words hiskachi, hiskachi. And the chiddush is that even though she's eating something and she has an immediate satisfaction, hana, nevertheless, there's no kiddushin with less than a shava pruta. According to Ravami, it's talking about the end of the Mishnah, where he doesn't say iskachi, iskachi, but rather he says iskachi bezu, ubezu. That if in all of the dates together there's a shava pruta, then there's a kiddushin. And the chiddush is that if she eats it right away, then you need the last date should have a shava pruta. And from here, the Gemara says we see a number of things. First of all, you see that if somebody gets engaged, he tries to make a kiddushin with a milva, with a loan, it doesn't work. Because over here, you see, it doesn't work unless there's a full prut at the end. You can't use the previous dates because they're already gone, they're consumed, they're a milva, they're alone. If, in addition to the forgiveness of the loan, there's a pruta, so a guy forgives this woman $1 million, but he gives her one lousy date that's worth a pruta, her das is on the pruta, and it's a good kiddushin. What if the kiddushin is nachal? What happens to everything he gave her to begin with? All the dates that he gave her, does she have to pay them back? Yes, because if it was a matana, there would be a good kiddushin here. But obviously, it's only a milva, and that's why she has to give it back. If a person does something very bizarre, he goes to his sister, he says, Harei mekudeshes li, he gives her money. Now, everybody knows you can't get married to your sister. So what is he trying to do here? According to Rav, she has to return the money, because all he was doing is he was trying to give her a pikadon, he wanted her to watch it, and he figured if he doesn't say it in a funny way, she won't accept it. According to Shmuel, it's a pure gift. She doesn't have to return it. The reason why he didn't say, here's a gift, and he said it in a funny lashon, he didn't want to embarrass her. He figured she's not going to accept it. The halacha is that when a person separates challah from his dough, that's great. He gives it to the kohen. But what if he separates challah from flour? The halacha is that the kohen must return the flour. And the Gemara wonders why. Why does he have to return the flour? So the Gemara tells us because we're concerned that the kohen is going to fall in a trap here. He's going to forget. He's not going to realize that what the Yisrael gave him is chayiv in mor challah. And he's going to take that flour and add it to his own personal flour. And he's going to make bread out of it without being mafresh challah. And it's tevel. It's also the rice to eat it. Another pshat is no, a kohen won't make such a mistake. The concern is that the Yisrael will make a mistake. The Yisrael will think that what he did was fine. He's mafresh challah from flour. Everybody knows he's supposed to take from dough. Oh, no, that's just to make it easy for the kohen. But if the kohen agrees to take from flour, you could take from flour. But the truth is, no. Reishis arisei seichem. Challah is only given from dough, not from flour. Now, there's a number of things the Gemara goes into it. Perhaps the kohen should keep the flour and just give a little bit trumas and maisers from that flour that he gave. Why does he have to give it back to the Yisrael? We see something similar when a person takes truma from a pot that has a perforation, which is midoraisa chayiv in trumas and maizrus on a pot that doesn't have a hole in the bottom, which is potim in trumas and maizrus midoraisa. Or if he should take truma, even though he took truma, he should go ahead and take truma again, like as if he took truma from a non-perforated pot to a perforated. It's different. By pots is different, the Gemara says, because when you have two pots, the person understands that he made a mistake here. There's a one that's chayiv, one that's potter. But when it's one bowl of flour, he's going to be lazy. He's not going to want to take truma from it. In a case of a sour, spoiled watermelon, let's say. So over there we say, Yachzav Yitroim, he should take a second truma. But in fact, midoraisa, the first truma was a good truma. Raboisai, have a wonderful day. And also, a beautiful Yontif.